Inspiring interviews with today's top landlords.
This is the Rental Income Podcast.
And now, Dan Lane.
Joining me on the podcast today is John French. And John has a real interesting strategy that he's been using to build his portfolio. He's been buying houses to live in, living there for a while, and then turning that house into a rental and buying another house to live in. John, welcome to the show. I love this strategy. Is this something that was a master plan, or did it just kind of happen this way?
Hey, Dan. Thanks for having me. It's been kind of just something that's developed over time, not some master plan. I'm actually trying to collect myself now and kind of refocus into a plan of sorts. But it's been kind of just 25-meter targets, if you will, just kind of falling into place.
Okay. So let's go back to your first property. When did you buy that first house? How long ago was it?
It was purchased in 2005.
Okay.
December of 2005.
And how long did you live there for before you moved out?
I met my wife in 2006 and moved in with her immediately because she was stable. She owned her own house and she could cook. So, and the house smelled good and it was always clean. So
that's great.
I moved in there real quick, like literally, like I think it was a week or two after I met her, but it seemed like that. Uh-huh. But, so I moved in there in 2006, and then we got married in 2007. We were there through, I'm trying to think 2009, I think September of 2009, we turned it into a rental property.
Okay. And was it hard to find renters the first time you put it on the market?
No, I was really worried about that because I had never done it. And you know, I was trying to make sure kind of I did the right thing. I was looking into renting actually up north, and I had already kind of secured the contract we were moving up there just for work. And we didn't know if we wanted to buy, so we rented for less than a year, actually. But I actually took that contract that I signed, and I said, can I have a copy of that? And I reused the same rental agreement to set up my rental. And why recreate the wheel?
Right, you know what I mean?
So, and then I had heard you need to run their credit, so I just asked for their credit report, you know, and
So they provided you that they went online, got a copy of their credit report and just gave it to you.
Yeah. And that's what I kind of, so I put a sign in the yard was, I guess, to answer your question. You know, I just put a sign in the yard and within less than a week I had phone calls and, you know, I was very surprised at how quickly, you know, people were interested.
Just in a simple yard sign. You didn't have to do any extravagant advertising or anything, just a simple yard sign. And you just got a for rent sign and put your phone number on there. That was all it was.
Yep. That's it.
When people called you, did you do any kind of pre-screening with them?
No. And you know, looking back, there probably could have been some questions that I could have just asked to pre-screen folks, but I just, asked for their email and I sent them, you know, the application. And that's kind of how I screened some folks out. Like, you know, I said no dogs and somebody asked me for a dog and it's like, I'd rather not, you know, or, you know, I get their application and it was really kind of first come, first serve that checked out kind of
and
deal. I was real critical.
You were taking an application before you even showed them the property?
Yes.
Wow. Okay. I've never heard of that before. That's a good way to weed people out. And people were willing to give you their information before they had seen the house. Okay. Mm-hmm. So then when you actually showed, so that way you didn't waste time showing the house to people that weren't going to be qualified.
Yeah. It's kind of, that's the thing is like one, you get the paperwork. So that shows a little bit of commitment that they're serious. They're not going to waste your time. And then, you know, it wasn't like the full blown rental agreement. It was just like an application form.
Yeah.
Like basic
okay.
information. And then after that, I think I asked for the credit. I can't remember if I asked for the credit report up front or if it was like a supplemental document I requested.
Now, when you moved out of that house, or you moved in with your girlfriend, or and then wife,
yep.
Did you end up keeping her house too, or did you guys just sell that house?
No, that was, see, I was renting personally.
Okay.
I was the young guy, and she's a little older than me and more mature. You ask her. So she had a house, she owned a house, and I was living with a buddy renting a room or something. And I was like, you know, I like this girl, you know, she owns her own house. So I moved in with her over time. And, so it was her house that I'm talking about.
Okay.
Right now, and then we moved up north and rented it.
Now, when you bought the second house, when you guys decided, okay, we're going to turn this into a rental, we're going to buy another house, how long were you in that house for before you turned that into a rental?
So from 2009 to 2010, less than a year, actually. It was, less than a year, we were renting in Warsaw, Indiana, which is in northern Indiana, near Fort Wayne, near South Bend, if to kind of give you guys points of reference. But then we started to like the area. We were getting kind of getting some friends in the area. We're like, okay, we're going to be here for a little while. Let's start looking around. And we ended up linking up with a realtor just randomly that actually had a lake home. We weren't really thinking lake home at the time. We didn't think we could afford it. But it was kind of 2010, kind of the market was a little down. So we were able to get a lake home for, I think we ended up settling around 240, 245, for a 4-bedroom lake home,
now,
on the water. So
this house, I'm really interested to talk to you about the way that you rent this house out. Now you rent this out as a vacation property, not as a traditional rental.
Correct.
Now, why did you do that? Do you make more money renting it out by the week?
I definitely make more money that way. Absolutely.
How do you find people? Like, what websites are you advertising it on?
Well, at first, I found a person because the same buddy that sold the house to me also manages some cottages in the area, and he actually double booked one of the cottages. So he called me and he said, "Hey, John, have you ever thought of renting by the week? I know I talked to you about maybe doing it, but, you know, you were reserved about it." So I decided I'd help him out. I mean, he's a good buddy of mine. And he's like, okay, I would just charge him $1,400. And I'm like, what? $1,400 for a week? I can get that? Are you serious? Mm-hmm. And he's like, and I'm like, so what do I do? So he helped me out and he sent me basically the contract he had. I filled it out, and he also rented my boat. At that time, I undercharged for the boat. I didn't realize how valuable a boat was to a renter on the lake. I think I said $500 more, and you can have my boat for the week. So
that's all in a all, great I way to
grand in my pocket for a week.
That's a great way to kind of juice your returns to rent the boat out.
Yes. And there is risk associated with that. There's not a, you can't buy insurance for boat, you know, if you're not a corporate person. So you just got to mitigate risk by, you know, saying you got to be this age. You know, I use 25. You've got to have boat experience. You're going to sign a liability waiver. And I make them, and it's very detailed liability waiver. But all in all, I think you're still assuming risk if they were to get, you know, injured or worse. So, but I'm willing to assume that risk, and I mitigate it by those techniques. And it does juice my return.
Now, how much are you renting today? I know you said you were renting it a little bit lower at first. How much are you renting it for today?
I still rent it. I rent my boat out for $800 a week, and then I discount the boat to $700 if they rent it at the same time as my house. So I rent my house out for $1,400.
Okay. So $1,400 for the house, and then $700 for the boat. Do you discount it to encourage them to take action right now?
Yes. I think I was dealing with a lot of hesitancy on securing the boat at the beginning of the initial deal. And I wanted to lock it in early. I wanted to secure things in writing as soon as possible because I was seeing that not pan out. They figure out another way to get a boat or something. So I went after it by marketing it in a way, you know, to make them advantageous to them to go ahead and lock it in at the same time early on.
So you're able to get 2,100 if they take the boat at 700 and then with the rent, you're getting $2,100 a week for that house. A week.
And then I also charge 70 for taxes and like 75 for a cleaning fee as well.
Wow. And then does and what site do you use to find your guests?
I've got my home. I started it out on VRBO, location rental by owner, and HomeAway last year. And then I've expanded to another website that I'll pull up here. It is lakehousevacations.com.
Okay.
And it's more of a small time, you know, more focused market of folks that I've actually got more inquiries through that smaller time site. It's not as complicated and integrated as VRBO is, but
And they take some kind of a fee, right? Like that's they're not.
They do. So VRBO, you can sign up to have it come out of the payment, but they have to pay through VRBO.
Okay.
So what I started doing was I just said, hey, email me. And I started kind of cheating the system, if you will. And so they figured it out. They're smart folks. I basically turned around and realized, oh man, I'm kind of cutting them out. And they're not making any money. Right. So I went out and paid, I think it was $200 or maybe close to $300 for their services and their marketing.
Is that $300 every time you book it?
Per year.
Per year. Okay. Yeah. Wow. Yeah. That's nothing.
No, it's not. And then lakehousevacations.com was like $89 for the app.
So you just pay the yearly fee and they're not taking a percentage of every booking? That's great. Great. And is there any kind of screening you have to do before you accept somebody to make sure that you're not having a bunch of high school kids that are going to rent it to party for a week? Is there any way to kind of check the guests out a little bit?
Well, the paperwork involved is pretty intensive. And I asked for a driver's license to check their age. And then, you know, I talk to them via email, correspond with them. And it's a whole lot of money for that group of folks. Yeah. I mean, they could kind of combine their, but I haven't run into it.
Okay.
Maybe I've been fortunate, but I haven't run into that scenario.
And so with getting that kind of a return, you're basically covering your mortgage in no time at all for the whole year, right? You don't need many bookings at all to cover it.
So my mortgage is mortgage insurance, everything is about $1,400 per month.
Okay.
So, so that times 12, if you do the math, I mean, if I rent it more than 12 times, you know, maybe, and if the boat's rented in there a couple times, maybe more than 10 times, I'm in the green.
Yeah. And is it seasonal? Like that people are renting mainly in the summertime? So
basically, there is a season that I haven't been able to tap into, which is musky season, a fishing season, which is in March. My main seasons, you know, late spring, summer, and early fall.
Okay.
So, you know, late May through June, July, August, into September. And I had some inquiries for October as well last year.
You know, I think vacation rentals is the greatest little niche there is out there. I mean, it is so profitable. That is really a great thing you have going on. So from here, where do you want to build your portfolio? You've bought another house now back in the same town that you bought the first house in.
Yeah. So that was, I was going to kind of repeat the concept and buy a home and live in it for a little while. My wife was pregnant, so we were going to have a second kid and then just kind of feel out our careers a little bit before we made our, you know, next leap into maybe a larger home that we would kind of retire in. But since then, I've been introduced to your podcast and some others such as Big Pockets podcast and website. And I've been kind of turned on to these multi-unit. And I've always thought about, you know, owning a duplex, but I never thought of a quad. Mm. And I had a buddy that I met through my realtor that helped me buy this house. He had a buddy that he had grown up with that owned a quad that unfortunately is going through a divorce and is wanting to kind of simplify his life. It's not multiple units in one building, and it's just a lot for a single guy to deal with if he's also got kids and a career going himself. So he's offered it to me, and I'm very much considering it.
You know, let's analyze it real quick. Let's talk about it. So what price is he wanting to sell it to you for?
So his price point right now is 180, but he also needs to put a roof on the place eventually, and he said he's going to drop it down to close to 170.
170 with the new roof or 170 without.
I would then take on, you know, the requirement to put the roof on.
Okay. Eventually. And what kind of units are there? How many bedrooms? How many baths?
So there's four units. Each unit is pretty much identical. It's a two bedroom, one bath.
Okay.
With a full kitchen and living room.
And how much is each unit rented for?
The average rent for each unit is $600,
okay.
Totaling $2,400.
$2,400 for all four. Mm-hmm. Okay. And then what about utilities? Is every unit metered separately or are the utilities all?
Yes. So the utilities, I don't cover electric. Each unit covers their own electricity. I do cover water, sewage, and garbage, which totals $168.
Okay. 168. And then you've got to do like lawn maintenance too.
So if you throw in lawn maintenance for 50 repairs, projections, I rotate another 50 in. And then property taxes and insurance is another 550.
Okay. Okay. And what kind of down payment would you be looking at?
I would be required most likely. I'm still looking into the financing of this, but most likely I'll have to put 25%.
Okay. Down. That's about standard. Okay. Mm-hmm. And then have you looked at what your mortgage payment would be?
Yes. My mortgage payment would be principal and interest would be $775.
Okay.
Assumed a 5% interest rate.
And
it may be closer to 6.
And that includes taxes and insurance too?
No. I covered the taxes and insurance is another $550.
$550 a month?
PITI is what's that? Close to 14 or something?
Yeah. Okay. So 14, 1400 a month all in, and you're renting it for $2,400. A month.
Yeah.
So you got $1,000 a month cash flow. And of course, you know, you're going to put some of that aside for repairs, but John, I mean, that sounds like a home run to me. I would do that deal all day.
Okay.
That sounds really good.
That. Yeah. I was, you know, I've got the numbers in front of me, but obviously something that I've heard that is very good to have that I'm looking for is that, person to kind of mentor me along the way you know, obviously a guy like you or somebody out there that I can just bounce ideas off of that actually experienced things that I want to do to tell me, okay, yeah, it looks good on paper, but
you know. Yeah. So, well, I'll tell you, the next time you get a deal, let me know. And what we'll do is we can talk it through, put it on the show, and maybe we can get feedback from listeners. Maybe there's something that someone else could point out. I think that would be an interesting thing to do for a quick little bonus show. Well, John, this was interesting, man. I really appreciate you coming on and telling your story.
Oh, I appreciate it, Dan. Thanks for having me.
And good luck. And definitely get back in touch when you have your next deal. And I think this would be fun to kind of get the listeners involved.
Okay. Awesome, Dan. I appreciate it.